Your first recollection of where you lived in Tulsa?
Up until Mother got married, she was living with Uncle and his wife and two daughters on the corner of what turns out to be 7th and Phoenix. The block skips from 4th Street to 7th Street, all in one block. They lived on the corner. Then when Dad came into the picture and he and Mother were married, they moved right across the street at 414 South Phoenix. Dad bought the house from a Mr. and Mrs. Compton, whose daughter was Joyce Compton, and Joyce wanted a career in the movies. She was a Billie Holiday type of personality. So the Comptons moved to California, and my parents moved in as soon as they were married. Joyce Compton established an amazing career as one below the line. She was not the star of the movie, but she was the supporting actress in one picture after another. I used to muse over the fact that my room was the one that Joyce Compton had grown up in. At any rate, we lived in that house until I was 28 years old. Then I moved the family to my present location, where I've been for 55 years, in the same house on Gillette, in what came to be called the Gillette Historic Neighborhood. Not because I lived there, you understand, but we were the first neighborhood in Tulsa to become a historic neighborhood, and then suddenly all over town, neighborhoods wanted to add their names to that. It's a wonderful development to have that tie-in with your neighborhood for historic reasons.
Your first school you attended?
A Mrs. Fulghum, F-U-L-G-H-U-M, had come from the East and formed Conway Bruin Private School about a block west of Denver. I think it was on Elwood, on the north side of town. At any rate, Conway Bruin, Bruin was B-R-O-U-N, hyphenated. These were all family names of Mrs. Fulghum's family. They had kindergarten through high school, and my parents sent me to the private school for 2 years. I was there for kindergarten and first grade. Then my parents transferred me to the public school system, and Riverview was my grade school.
Is there a point very early in your life where you sensed that you were going to be a talker, speaker, that you were theatrical?
This is another interesting question, because as I was growing up, it was assumed that I would continue the business and be a businessman. Even when I graduated from Central High School, in between was Horace Mann Junior High, I enrolled at OU as a business major. But after 1 year, I realized that my career really would be in broadcasting. And it's not surprising, because I made my so-called debut on radio at the age of 5, because Mother was concerned that I might speak English with an Arabic accent.
Did your parents speak with that accent?
She didn't have much of an accent herself. Of course, she was in the United States from the age of 13 on. My father had a little more of an accent, because he didn't come here until he was 33. He knew English, but he never felt as comfortable with the language. At any rate, Mother had me enrolled with a teacher. I think her name was Quisenberry. She had her classes in one of the rooms in the Akdar Temple, which was one of Tulsa's most interesting buildings that unfortunately was torn down. It was between 3rd and 4th, or 4th and 5th, right east of Denver, with minarets and all of that. At any rate, I had classes with Mrs. Quisenberry. And at that time, Jenkins Music Company was presenting a weekly program called The Kiddies Review on the 50,000-watt voice of KVOO. She had me audition for them, and I was one of many children who did anything. It wasn't all doing poetry. It wasn't all musical instrument. In fact, we used to laugh over the fact that occasionally they would have a baton twirler. Have you ever tried watching a baton twirler on radio? So I started out my career with this short poem that I cannot get out of my mind. It's with me all the time. I had a little pig with... I don't know if I can get through it without laughing. I had a little pig with a nose that could dig all around in the dirt. It didn't look hard, so I tried it in the yard. I did it all right, but it hurt.
So that's been in your head now for 75, 76 years, hasn't it?
Yeah. I don't remember any of the other poems that I recited during grade school, but I was on, not regularly, but off and on the Kiddies Review.
It's interesting that your mother really sent you to these classes for speaking.
Yes. That's why I never developed an Oklahoma accent.
But she had no idea you were going to be a performer, or maybe she sensed that you would be, but that was just all by chance and by luck, wasn't it?
Yes, because my parents never encouraged me to take lessons with a musical instrument, because they were sure that if I chose that profession, I would starve to death. I wanted very much to take piano lessons. I had so many friends who were being forced to take piano lessons, and here I wanted to, and my parents were afraid I would take the wrong career path as a result. Next door to our house on Phoenix were the Woolseys. Mr. Woolsey had the Woolsey Lumber Yard on West 3rd Street, halfway to Sand Springs. Mrs. Woolsey was involved with music groups. She played the piano. So when I was in late junior high school, just before going to high school, Mrs. Woolsey started to take me with her husband, the three of us, to concerts and things after getting my parents' permission. Their focus all their lives was making enough money to live, and that meant working 6 days a week from 8 in the morning, as I've said, to 6 in the evening. And the house was just a place where we would eat and sleep. So thanks to the Woolseys, who took me with them for civic music, groups like that, civic music would bring the world's greatest musicians to the convention hall. I remember hearing Ezio Pinza doing a complete recital with piano. I remember Yasha Heifetz when I was in high school. I remember at a point in the concerto he was playing, with the piano being the orchestral accompaniment, that in the slow movement you could hear the trains going by north of Convention Hall, because I'm not sure they had air conditioning at that time. They had big fans, but they would frequently open the back door off the stage, and it seemed that the trains always chose the worst times to go by. I still remember Yasha Heifetz playing a concerto while the train was making choo-choo sounds. Well, at any rate, that had a tremendous influence on my life, thanks to the Woolseys. Well, of course, at school, I was in the fourth grade musical. Then in junior high school at Horace Mann, I was in the Boys Glee Club. We did a, believe it or not, minstrel show 1 year, and I sang Old Black Joe. I was the first act. Usually the first half was a variety of things, and then the second half was where Mr. Interlocutor, who was usually white, would question or motivate the rest of the group, who were all black in minstrel shows, to perform. They grayed my hair, and I sat on a barrel and sang Old Black Joe. It was a very moving moment.
Were you in blackface then?
Yes. I was in blackface for the first half, and then during intermission I had to remove all of that because I was the interlocutor, or as they said, the interlocutator. So I was the only white one on the stage, and all the rest of the Boys Glee Club was in blackface. I don't think you're likely to see any show like that these days.
When did you discover that you could sing?
Well, I discovered that I could barely sing. I never had a beautiful singing voice. But in grade school, in junior high, they weren't requiring that you be an operatic personality. At Central High School, I never performed in the Days, which was their annual talent show. I never sang at Central High School, but I was in the a cappella choir there. Then when I got to TU, Dr. Beaumont Brustel was writing original musical comedies every year, and he cast me as not usually one of the leading characters, but the comic. So I was able to sell a comic song quite adequately and have done that quite a bit since then. No more, but I did then.
So you performed on KVOO for several years then.
Actually, the Kiddies Review came to an end, but Alan Hubbard, who was one of the principal announcers at KVOO, also gave private speech lessons at his home on South Baltimore, near 17th and Baltimore. KVOO let him produce a 15-minute children's program of drama. At that time, Let's Pretend was a weekly half-hour show out of Chicago in which a different fairy tale was dramatized each week. So Alan Hubbard started this group, which was called the Junior Playhouse. It was, I think, something like 10:45 to 11 o'clock on Saturday mornings. We would rehearse at his house on Wednesdays. So I was on that all through the fifth grade and the sixth grades. I was essentially debuting in radio on the largest station in town. They wouldn't think of doing anything like that today. I usually, before my voice changed, was a children's role or the witch in the fairy tales, because this was before my voice changed, basically. But
I could still do a witchy sort of sound.
Well, that's not quite it, but I was convincing on a children's program being the witch.
Right.
That took me right through grade school. And then, of course, in junior high and high school, there was a half-hour program on Saturday mornings on KOME. I got involved with that, and then Miss Ronan at Central High School continued that on KOME. So I was frequently on that. Again, not every week, because there were plenty of students at Central High School who were able to perform on the radio. So technically, all through my public school years, I was getting radio experience.